Although last week's gospel was from John, today's gospel passage from Luke picks up right where John left off. Jesus had appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they became overjoyed. And even though it was in the middle of the night, if we recall, they returned to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they met the other disciples, just to find out that our Lord had appeared to them as well. But in the midst of all that, as they're recounting their experiences, Jesus appears again. And we hear, "But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost." The mystery and the joy of the resurrection takes time to permeate our hearts and our minds. Jesus had to revisit the disciples, leaving no room for doubt. In my last year of seminary, the last semester at that, and you can imagine I was ready to be finished, and I'm not going to lie and say that I had all the attention focused on my studies as I should have, but this one class in particular was an elective, and I was privileged to be able to take it because it was with a fairly prominent theologian, Matthew Levering, and this class was focused just on the resurrection, and a great deal of the class was actually focused on examining those who disbelieved in the resurrection. You might think that I'm talking about atheists. Unfortunately, who we were looking at and who we were reading was actually Christian theologians and, very regrettably, even some Catholic theologians who did not fully believe in the resurrection. You see, some of them think that Jesus rose just spiritually, that perhaps the disciples only saw a ghost or saw something that looked like Jesus. Or maybe they wanted him to be alive so much that just that teaching came about. Even though Christ himself says, "I am not a ghost," people still withhold belief. And St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:14, "If Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is vain." He goes on to say that if Christ hadn't rose from the dead, faith is futile, worthless. And that's true. If Christ had only risen spiritually from the dead, and not physically, there's no reason any of us are here in this church this morning. We're wasting our time. And nothing special would happen on this altar in just a few minutes if Christ had not truly risen from the dead in every way. All the things that skeptics can bring up can be addressed and accounted for. And they all rest on some very basic evidence. And so we have, again, Jesus leaving no doubt about this. He himself says, "Look at my hands and my feet. Touch me and see. Because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." He even eats with them. Because a mere ghost can't do those things. He knew that our human nature would be susceptible to doubt, and at times to call into question the great mysteries of our faith, especially during trying times. And so he provides something for us to return to time and time again. His resurrected body is indeed physical, but no longer earthly. He forever reigns now in a human body, but one that is no longer limited by time and space. We just celebrated the solemnity of Easter a couple weeks ago and all the joy that it entails. But lo and behold, at least last time I checked, I still struggle with sin. I'm still tempted to settle back into those old ways. But just as Jesus reminded his disciples, he reminds us as well. The good news of Easter is that the hope Christ provides in the resurrection persists because of Easter Sunday. It continues and does so in a lasting manner. It continues because the gospel never ceases to be preached. And Jesus says in today's gospel that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name. Yes, we still sin. And we would be naive to deny that. And I'm not even talking about the generic types of sin, the ones that are pointed to most often. Impatient, being judgmental, being intolerant. Those things that are easy to point out. No, I'm talking about it all. Those things that St. Paul speaks of. Sins against purity, against charity, sins against God. Because each and every sin separates us from the love of God, and it tears the harmony of a community apart. All sin must be avoided. But as St. Paul goes on to say in our second reading, St. John in today's second reading says, "But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And we turn to him and receive his grace of new life by repenting," which is acknowledging our wrongdoing in honest sorrow and committing ourselves to amending our ways. The peace of Easter cannot coexist alongside the tyranny of sin, which seeks to sabotage God's peace, which he desires for us to have and to hold on to. The grace of penance puts disciples, you and me, in touch with Jesus as it unites us to his saving words and the healing food of the Eucharist. Jesus comes to us again in the gospel, the living word of God, to remove doubt that may slip in undetected. And he comes to us, making himself completely and totally present in the Eucharist, so that we too may see and touch his body, inviting us into an ongoing and deeper union with him.
At this time, let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father.